more than four generations after the last human had been there. Ryan opened the door, flattening himself against the wall, ready for trouble. Trader used to say that if you kept ready for trouble, then it would never happen. Relax for a moment, and you might get to be dead. The air tasted less flat. Ryan exhaled, watching his breath as it misted in front of him. His guess was that the temperature throughout the complex must be close to freezing, maybe well below in parts. The computers and control equipment wouldn't function once it dropped below zero. Apart from a few sheets of paper and a pen, which had evidently been dropped on the floor during the evacuation, everything looked normal. Ryan glanced across at Christy, raising an eyebrow.
Empty, you guess?
Yeah. I think I can hear... No, it's gone. If it was there at all.
A piece of paper crinkled next to his boot, and Ryan stooped to peer at it. It was torn, showing only the words, Host Twin. It looked as if it had been some kind of food tab. There was the background whirring and humming of the electrics. One of the overhead lights had shorted out, and it was spitting erratically, tiny sparks showering from the broken fitting. Wheels moved, and lights of different color blinked. Ryan entered the room, feeling the soft dust stirring under his feet. He wondered where so much dust had come from. None of the other gateways had had so much. The other companions followed. There was the familiar double-armored door on the far side, which would probably open onto a large, wide corridor, if it was like the other redoubts. J.B. Dix looked back at the Matran's chamber.
Sure is a shame we can't control that bastard. Be good to try and get back.
Back? Back where?
To Warwag 1. Back to Kohn and Ovak. O'Mara, Lynn, Hooley, Laws, Kathy. Where are they now? Dead or living?
Ryan shook his head.
Actually, I guess only a few weeks have passed since we left them. But they could be anywhere now.
We can't go back, I told you. The controls are random if you don't know the codes. We could try making jumps for years and never find the right gateway. And we'd probably hit on one that's damaged. And I swear I don't know what that would mean.
If we got to a chamber that no longer existed, you figure we wouldn't exist either, Doc?
The old man shrugged his narrow shoulders.
Mayhap, dear Christy. Mayhap.
Somebody must know how they work. Just gotta keep asking, I guess.
The green lever on the outer portal was depressed to the closed position. Ryan moved across, eyeing the banks of disks and chattering contacts. There was a vaguely unpleasant, sticky smear on one of the consoles, as though some piece of fruit had been left there at the time of the evacuation and had rotted silently away into nothingness.
If in hurry, they leave books of rules, Doc?
I fear not, my dearest child. I rather believe that there is no way anyone will ever be able to use the gateways as they were intended. And that may be no bad thing.
What's this? Like a radio, mic, and speaker. Couldn't we try to raise Warwag 1?
It's about 1,000 miles out of range, Finn.
Huh.
Finnegan poked at a row of buttons and switches.
Hey, Finn, leave that shit alone.
Hold on. Here. There you go. Fucking sheep shit on a stick. You hear that? There's someone out there.
Tune it in if you can, Finn.
Now you want me to fuck with?
Yeah, that dial there. Turn it real slow and easy.
Got it.
Anyone receiving this message who requires any assistance in the matter of science or the study of past technical developments will be aided. Bring all your information and follow this signal where you will be given help. Stay tuned.
Come on, you son of a bitch!
Stay tuned to this ring.
Shit!
Equipment malfunction. Probably not used in 100 years. Burned out.
But the message! North of Ginsburg Falls, where that paper came from! We follow it and maybe pick it up again! Ah, fuck it!
The radio's lights flickered from Finn's fist.
Just another couple of minutes, we could have talked back to him!
Tape loop, Finn. Could have been set on automatic 50 years back. Maybe even programmed with its own generator before the big wars.
They offered scientific help. They might know how the gateways work. Couldn't they, Doc?
It is quite a distinct possibility, Mr. Dix. I would concede that to you. But...
Doc's voice trailed away, like the radio broadcast. Ryan was tempted to hope. Was there someone who still had the skill and knowledge to operate the gateways properly? Or was it a voice from the tomb? He couldn't even decide which he'd prefer, to find some place of long-dead science, or to find that scientists were still practicing their murderous skills. The lever that opened the main doors into the gateway complex was stiff. At first, Ryan couldn't get it to move at all.
Shit. Oh well, here goes nothing.
He threw all his strength against it, and it grated upward.
That's right, you bastard.
As the doors began to move, Ryan turned to give the usual reminder to his group about taking all possible care. He was aware of the widening gap out of the corner of his eye, with someone standing in the narrow corridor beyond. Someone standing in... Someone?
Oh, shit.
He swung around, his ancient case swinging with him. A small man in furs, face swarthy. Blaster of some sort at his hip, muzzle like the mouth of a bell. Too slow, too late. A heavy blow spun the one-eyed man around, so that he banged the side of his head against the wall. Ryan was oddly grateful to reach and embrace the swimming blackness. He raised a cautious hand, touching the side of his head, finding a great bruise that felt soggy to his probing fingers. He was back in the room with the chattering electronic consoles. Ryan noticed that the heavy door was shut again. Christy was kneeling at his side.
Better, lover?
Yeah. Who hit me?
There was a mutie outside. You saw him?
Little bastard, at first. Got a gun with a bell muzzle on it, bigger than Finn's belly.
Yeah, blunderbuss. Old homemade piece. If he'd squeezed off on it, he'd have blown you from here to tomorrow. But he didn't.
I heard...
Me!
You shot him, Lori?
Christy grinned.
She was a tad worried because she realized afterward that her bullet must have missed you by about this much.
Christy held her finger and thumb an inch apart.
That's far enough, Lori, thanks.
It was more than that. More like this.
Her finger and thumb were at least 2 inches apart.
But who in the long chill laid me out? Jack?
Yeah.
How?
Ryan found it hard to believe that the skinny little kid had sent him flying so easily.
He kicked the living shit out of you! Ha ha! The funniest shit I ever seen!
Ha ha ha! Well, I'll be damned.
Ryan closed his eye, shaking his head in disbelief. Christy was grinning at him when he blinked up again.
It's true, lover. Damnedest thing ever. Hair flying like snow in a northern blizzard. Pushed off the side of the door with his hands, kicked you round about shoulder high, both feet. Bounced you out of the mutie's firing line. Your head was the first thing to hit the floor.
Lucky it wasn't nothing fucking important. Ah, that was something, Ryan. Fiery little demon, ain't he?
Ryan stood up, shaking his head to try to clear the muzziness.
Yeah, well, thanks, Jack. And you, Lori. There any more of those muties out yonder?
After Lori chilled that one, we checked a ways up the corridor. To the left's a dead end, blank wall, no more doors. Other ways open, but the ceiling's real bad. Lots of places where it's collapsed.
There's a big fall, less than 100 yards along that way. Only a narrow gap. We figured best to come back in here with you sleeping so tight.
Best we go look.
Follow up that radio message?
Yeah. Why not, JB?
This time, Ryan was a whole lot more careful. He kept flat as the lever was thrown, then moved out quickly, backed by Finn. The others came out only after the signal was given that the corridor was clear.
See that?
Christy pointed at the outside of the glittering metal door. It was deeply scratched and gouged, with scorch marks in places.
Someone tried real hard to get in there.
Muties like him?
Ryan pointed with the barrel of the G-12 at the corpse of the little man. Lori had shot him with either a lot of luck or impressive skill. Bearing in mind how close the bullet had come to taking him through the back of the neck, Ryan chose not to think too long on which it had been. The dead man was only about 5 feet in height and looked about 30 years old. His face was flat with a coppery cast to the skin. The lips were narrow, peeled back to reveal long, curved teeth. The nails on the small hands were long and twisted, like horn. The man wore a coat of animal skins and furs, probably rodent. The gun had a hand-carved stock, while the barrel was iron, with the extra-large mouth riveted on. It was based on a primitive flintlock design.
Rough old blaster.
Rip the belly out of even you.
Ryan kicked it aside. The blood was drying, black around the neat hole just above the man's right eye. It had leaked over his face, filling the gaping mouth with a pool of crimson. A lot more blood had oozed from the exit wound at the back of the skull. There was an odd weapon hooked to the belt of the dead muti. It consisted of several narrow lengths of hollow wood, each about 12 inches long, ending in a sharp, barbed tip of something like ivory. A rawhide cord ran through the middle of the sections. JB bent over it.
Interesting.
What is it, Mr. Dix? I confess myself somewhat puzzled by it.
Spear.
Doc Tanner smiled doubtfully.
You are teasing me, are you not?
No.
A spear? Only a foot in length? Perhaps for hunting the inhabitants of the land of Lilliput.
Where the fuck's that, Doc?
Finnegan's question was ignored. The armorer unhooked the strange weapon from the belt of the corpse. He held the cord and flicked it hard with his wrist. Miraculously, the sections slotted into one another, producing a lethal, 6-foot-long spear.
Gimme!
Jack held out a hand. He took the spear, let it fall into its component sections, then whipped it out to full length, grinning delightedly.
Phew, be good. Okay, I keep it, Ryan?
Sure, why not? Come on, let's go.
The avalanche could have happened any time. Maybe only a month ago, maybe when the bombs had rained down on the free land of America. Concrete, stones, and earth had slipped, blocking the corridor and leaving only a small gap, barely 3 feet high at its apex.
Anything, Christy?
No, Ryan. Not close. But I can hear something quite a long way off. Maybe an engine, maybe feet moving. Can't tell. Blurred by the deeps here.
I'll go look. I'm smallest here forward.
The albino scampered lightly up the earth slide on hands and knees, pausing a moment and staring into the hole.
Does it go through?
Yeah, it's around 10 feet. Easy. You coming?
Finnegan had the most difficulty, wriggling along on his stomach, pushing his gun ahead of him, panting, red-faced, sweating despite the chill, but eventually he made it. When Ryan himself was halfway through, bringing up the rear of the group, he was suddenly oppressed by the thought of how many trillions of tons of dirt hung above him. It had fallen before. One day it might fall again. The corridor resumed on the far side of the dirt tunnel. It stretched out, ill-lit, curving gently to the right. The air tasted noticeably fresher, and it was much colder.
Fucking freezing, Ryan. Gotta get some warmer gear. Left most of mine along the way.
Finn was right. If it was as bitter as this deep down on the redoubt, it didn't much bear thinking on what it would be like if they got out into the open.
If they evacuated in a rush, there could be some clothes around.
JB pointed with his mini-Uzi at the many footprints that patterned the dusty floor.
Must be hundreds of them.
Finnegan bent to study the marks.
Most got skin boots on, like the chilled muti back there.
But they didn't get in the gateway. Controls aren't hard. Just the number code on the panel. Figures that they can't read. That being so, there may be other parts of the redoubt they haven't penetrated. We stay here, we freeze. We go back to the gateway and move on, then we never follow up that radio beam.
Then needs be onward and upward, my dear Ryan. Let us carry our banner with its strange device and cry Excalibur to all we meet.
There were times when Ryan thought Theophilus Tanner would never get his full set of brains back. Everyone was on battle alert. JB took point, with Finn 3 paces behind him, on the other side of the corridor. Doc and Lori walked together, followed by Jack. Christy came 6th, and Ryan covered the rear, 20 paces behind her. JB signaled for everyone to halt, then dropped to one knee, squinting along the barrel of the mini-Uzi.
Thought I saw somebody. Gone now, though.
And once, Ryan himself paused at a place where the corridor bent more sharply. He went around the curve, hesitated, then suddenly retreated. Just at the edge of his vision, about 100 paces away, 2 or 3 of the diminutive muties had seen him and had scampered out of sight. They passed several rooms, most with open doors. Without exception, the rooms had been stripped completely bare. Some had carried signs over them.